Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome my colleague Sadanan Dume of the American Enterprise Institute, and his column at the Wall Street Journal answers a question I didn't know to ask. Where did the caste system that is used in hiring and the academy in India, where did it come from? I learned from you, Sadanan, it came from a good intention to give an opportunity to the Dalits, famously known as the Untouchables, and tribals, this sometime after the Republic was formed in 1950. What happened after that? The good intention. Good evening to you, Sadanan.
Very good evening to you, John. Well, you know, as with affirmative action programs around the world, they usually start out as a very limited promise to provide redress for past injustices. And then they quickly kind of, you know, tend to either become permanent or, in India's case, not just become permanent, but expand dramatically. So what I point out in my column is that when this whole thing started, basically there was about more than 80% of government jobs and more than 80% of places in government-funded universities and colleges, medical schools and the like, were based on an examination, right? So everyone takes the exam and then whoever, you know, you get in based on merit. And around 18%, it was 17.5%, was based on whether you were born into a Dalit family or a tribal family, and then you got a leg up. But if you look today, the situation is quite dramatically different. And only about 40%, only about 4 out of 10 government jobs or seats in colleges are based on merit, and 60% is based on some kind of identity-based quota. So it's basically been flipped on its head, and what people thought would be a very limited and temporary redress has become an extremely expansive and permanent system that defines Indian higher education and government.
So right now that number is 50%. What does 50% mean? What's the cap about?
Well, so there's a cap that the Supreme Court put a cap in place in 1992 that basically said that, look, if India says it's a country that has equality before the law, then you can't really put these birth-based, caste-based quotas. They can't exceed 50%. So that's the 50% rule. But Modi's already done an end run around it, because what he added another 10% for groups that are economically backward, but from a caste perspective are not otherwise entitled to quotas. So, just in terms of pure merit, it's only about 40% that's open now.
And now we come to the presenting observation that Mr. Modi, who is now in his third premiership, is not as powerful as he was before, though he didn't change it before in a positive direction. Merit is something that to be venerated. And merit now is under assault. Is that how to read this back down by Modi? Merit's losing.
Yeah. So, John, just to sort of background for your listeners, basically what happened was that the government put out an ad, and they were going to recruit about 45 experts to work in mid-level to senior positions in government. This is, people who had expertise in things like semiconductors, artificial intelligence, environmental law. This is stuff that a lot of bureaucrats, they don't really know. And so to improve the functioning of government, they wanted to recruit people from the private sector who know this stuff and who can help. Now, so the government put out this ad, and it was immediately attacked both by the opposition and then by some of Mr. Modi's own allies, because those 45 positions, which is like less than 1% of 1%, it's a tiny, tiny, tiny percentage of jobs. But those did not specify that those jobs would be allocated according to this quota system, right? They just said, if you're the smartest person and you know about semiconductors, come on, we'll hire you, instead of, well, first tell us your cost and whether you fit in or not. So Modi, in the past, he would have just ignored this. And in fact, in his first two terms, he did hire people, you know, a very small number of people, but he did hire outside experts, not based on cost, just based on expertise. And this time he folded within 3 days. And so, you know, the larger significance of that for people who are watching India is that this is a very weakened prime minister compared to his first two terms. He does not have either the conviction or the stomach for a fight. And I think that's a very, very interesting, because he's barely 3 months into his 5-year term.
The surprise to me, in addition to learning all about this for the first time, is that Rahul Gandhi, the head of the Congress party, is in favor of the caste system. It's surprising to me. Congress always, to my knowledge, has presented itself as modernizers. Have they reverted to this because they're in opposition or because they believe it?
That's very perceptive, John. You're absolutely right. In fact, just the other day, I was reading some, you know, something, a letter by Rahul Gandhi's great-grandfather, Jawaharlal Nehru, India's first prime minister. And even though he instituted this, you know, the first quotas, he did that, you know, reluctantly. He did not believe in it. He thought that it would take India backward, because India had to be a country. If it had to advance, it had to be able to recognize and reward merit. And so he would be shocked to see that his great-grandson is now, you know, not only opposed to merit, but is now, you know, demanding larger and larger quotas. You know, it's completely the opposite of the philosophy of, say, you know, someone like Lee Kuan Yew, who really made it a point in the case of Singapore to sort of say that Singapore was going to be open to the best talent. And in India, it's almost the opposite phenomenon. Not only is India not open to the best talent around the world when it comes to government, it doesn't even want the best talent among Indians. It wants it to be everything to be through this quota system.
And this initiative for a caste census, has that ever happened before, and is it going forward?
So it hadn't happened in, it happened last in colonial times. 1931 was when the British were still in rule. And, you know, the independence leaders of India, they wanted to see caste in the rearview mirror, right? They wanted India to become a more modern country. They wanted, you know, to borrow a term familiar to American, you know, they wanted it to be like we say, colorblind, the caste blind. And they wanted people to be judged by, you know, on their merits. And this is just, you know, come full circle now. And what happened in the case of Rahul Gandhi in Congress is that they lost two elections really badly. And I think they figured that their only possible way back against Modi was to emphasize caste, because Modi and his party, the BJP, they emphasize religion a lot. So it's a kind of contest between these two primordial identities. So one party, the BJP and Modi, will go to the voters and say, vote for us because we're Hindu, and that's about 80% of the population. And then the other party, the Congress, says, well, no, don't vote for them. It's not enough to be Hindu if you don't belong to one of the so-called upper castes, which are just about 30% of the population, 30% of the Hindu. Then you should vote for us, because 70% of the Hindus are not from the upper castes. So they're just trying to, you know, both sides are trying to use identity politics to get ahead. And for Congress, this was really a, you know, a Hail Mary, because things had been going really badly for them, and they think that this is one way they can claw their way back to power.
Sadanand Dumay at the Wall Street Journal editorial page. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This Labor Day, say goodbye to spills, stains, and overpriced furniture with WashableSofas.com. Featuring Anabay, the only machine washable sofa inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly pricing. Sofas start at just $6.99, making it the perfect time to upgrade your space. Anabay's pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and interchangeable slipcovers are made with high-performance fabric built for real life. You'll love the cloud-like comfort of hypoallergenic, high-resilience foam that never needs fluffing, and a durable steel frame that stands the test of time. With modular pieces, you can rearrange anytime. It's a sofa that adapts to your life. Now through Labor Day, get up to 60% off site-wide at WashableSofas.com. Every order comes with a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping, no restocking fees, every penny back. Shop now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.